talked about Legion out of chapter 5, and we talked about the woman who was healed last week, but I kind of left Jairus hanging. And I thought, I need to go back and tell the rest of the story, because what happened to that man and his family is an incredible experience. What they would go through in that day would change their lives forever. And because there are folks here today who are also in a situation where you're going through some things in your life, maybe very unexpected things, very challenging things, very critical things, and you need to know, is God going to be there when I need Him the most? Is the Lord really going to be there when I'm depending upon Him? So let's go back and let's talk about the rest of the story. It had already been an incredible day. You remember how the story went. Jesus, who had a crowd of people walking down the streets with Him, suddenly stopped dead still, looked around and said, "Who touched me?" And there was that woman who came forward, and in just a few moments, she was completely healed. After years of misery and suffering, the Lord made her whole. Can you imagine what must have happened next? I can imagine that after she confessed that she was the one who had been healed, and everybody recognized God had done an amazing thing, everybody in the crowd wanted to gather around her. They wanted to get close. They wanted to hear from her own lips about what the Lord had done. They wanted a chance to meet her and to touch her. Imagine what it was like. Here's this woman who just a few minutes before, nobody wanted to know. Nobody wanted to come near. And now all of a sudden, everybody wanted to welcome her as God's daughter into the fellowship of the Lord's people. Everybody wanted to be a part of the celebration, except for one person. A few moments before, he had been in the front of the crowd. Now he found himself standing on the fringes. He was waiting impatiently to continue on the journey. It wasn't the fact that nobody was paying attention to him that bothered him so much. It was the fact that before this had happened, Jesus had been on his way with Jairus to see if he could rescue his daughter, who is at the very verge of death. Jairus was frantic to complete the journey. He wanted to know if there was anything Jesus could do, because Jesus was his only hope. A lot of us can identify with Jairus. If not now, then you have before. If you haven't yet, you will someday. There'll come that point in your life where you recognize the only hope I have is the Lord Jesus Christ. The only one I can turn to that can help me is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if Jesus can't do it, then nobody can. We understand that kind of desperation. Now, you may not be experiencing what he did. You may not be standing by helplessly wondering what's going to happen to your daughter. Will she live or will you die? But there's going to come that point in your life, if it hasn't yet, when you are desperate for God to do something. Times when you desperately need his help. Times when you recognize if the Lord doesn't do it, it's just not going to be done. Mark's already described how the Lord rescued Legion from spiritual bondage, how he'd made a woman whole. And this morning, I want us to look together at the rest of the story. So Jairus is standing on the edge of the crowd. He's watching these people as they mill around the woman. It seems as though they're never going to be done. There's not going to be that moment when people just kind of go away and do the things they normally do. And while he was waiting, Jairus found out that all hope was gone. Here's what the Bible says. While Jesus, was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, "Your daughter is dead." Why trouble the teacher any longer? They came to this frantic man and said, "It's already too late. Nothing can be done. She's drawn her last breath. We were there. We saw it. Your wife is grieving. Your family is hurting. You need to go home because there's nothing else that can be done. Why trouble the teacher any longer? Jairus had come to Jesus because he loved his daughter so much, he was willing to do anything to save her. When he came to Jesus, Jairus put everything on the line. It's no accident that twice Mark tells us that Jairus was a ruler of the synagogue. Everybody he knew was skeptical about Jesus. All of the other synagogue leaders, all of those people who were godly people, all of them were hearing these stories about Jesus, and nobody really believed that any of that was true. Most of them thought he was a fraud. Having heard all of the things people were saying about Jesus, recognizing all of the ways his friends were talking him down, Jairus had to make a decision. Am I willing to be seen approaching this man? He had to swallow his pride to approach Jesus to begin with. To bring him to his house left his dignity in tatters. But he didn't care. Because there was a chance this Jesus could save his little girl. He had done everything he could, and now the news came that it had all been in vain. The people who brought him that grim news said, there's no reason to trouble the teacher any further. I think what was unsaid was this: Jairus, there's no more reason for you to embarrass yourself. There's no more reason for you to be seen with this man. Obviously, he can't help you. Go home. Just go home. Face the fact that she is gone and she's not coming back. Jesus forced a crisis. He heard what Jairus had been told, and he looked the man right in the eye, and this is what Jesus said to him. Do not be afraid, only believe. Do not be afraid. Jairus had a choice to make: listen to others or listen to Jesus. Whose voice is going to mean the most in your life at this point? When everything is on the line. Jairus faced a crisis of faith. That happens to us all in everybody's life. There are those pivotal moments that force a choice. Those pivotal moments when you have to decide, am I in or am I out? Will I follow or will I stay behind? Will I trust him or am I going to trust myself? Am I going to listen to the voices of others or only one voice at all? And those times when we face pivotal moments are the times when what you do next will change the course of your life. Have you ever been there? I mean, where Christ is concerned. Have you ever been at that point where you say to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm in. I'm going to trust you. Not always because of the evidence, sometimes in spite of the evidence. I'm going to trust you. Because sometimes that voice that says, don't be afraid, only believe, is a voice that you only hear in the middle of the wind and the waves when everything is crashing around you and all of your life seems like it's falling apart. And those are those times when you hear that voice say to you, believe. Trust me. Don't be afraid. Jairus had a decision to make. Whose voice am I going to listen to? Pivotal moments are crucial when they force spiritual decisions. And Jairus had to make a choice. How far am I willing to go in trusting Jesus? How far am I willing to go? up until that moment, Jairus had had a lot of options where Jesus was concerned. When somebody asked him, "What do you believe about Jesus?" he could say, "Well, I really don't believe in him at all." He could reject him. He could ignore him. "I don't really think about Jesus." He could be mildly interested in what he was hearing about Jesus, but after all, that doesn't really affect my life. There are a lot of ways people can respond to the name of Jesus when they're not in the midst of a pivotal moment in life. But now the choice was stark. Will I trust him when everything is on the line? One voice is saying to me, "Your daughter is dead." The other voice is saying, "Don't be afraid, only believe." He had to make a decision, and in that moment, he chose to trust Jesus. And when Jairus made that decision, then the Lord took control of the situation. Interestingly enough, the first thing he did was to eliminate the crowds. Just a moment ago, he was glad to see the multitudes gathered around this woman who had been made well. It was important for the multitude to witness the miracle that had taken place because he wanted to restore her back to everything in her life. But now, Jesus sent them all away. He sent away the onlookers. He sent away people who had been following him. The Bible says he only allowed 3 of his own apostles to accompany him. And in just a few moments, all of the crowd had scattered, and his followers were left behind. And Jesus and his 3 followers and Jairus continued a lonely journey toward that man's home. Why did he do it that way? The Bible says, even when they got to the house, he put out everybody except those parents. Why? Because some things are just too personal to take place before curious eyes. If a few moments ago the crowd was necessary, now is a time when there was no place for crowds, no place for extra people. No place for curious eyes. Jesus didn't see the crowds and think to himself, "Boy, this is another way to spread my fame. When people hear what I've done in this man's house, they can't help but to believe." Instead, his whole attention was given to 2 broken, grieving people. All he cared about were the people at the center of that storm and what was going to happen in their lives. It was a very private, very personal moment. You know, often that is how the Lord works in our own lives when we need him the most. If I had to ask you this morning about those times when God has shown himself strong in your life, if I had to ask you about those times when you were pushed to the very limit, if I had to talk to you about those times when God revealed himself to you in a way that you had never seen him before, there might be a few who would say, "I remember it was in the middle of the crowd." But most of us would say something like this: "It was the most private, most personal moment in my life." Even if at that moment you were in the midst of a group of people, in your heart and in your life, it was just you and the Lord. And all you were doing was looking at him. And that's exactly what was going on in Jairus' home. This husband, this wife, this tragedy, all they could do was look to Jesus and depend upon him. There are times in our lives that are celebrations when we want everybody to know what God has done. But when the need is greatest, He often deals with us most privately. Those are the times when everything else in the world goes away and the Lord is closer than you ever imagined He would be. I can only imagine the compassion in Christ's voice as He led Jairus and his wife into the room where the little girl's body lay. He saw the agony in their faces. He heard the brokenness when they tried to speak. He saw the way that they could just cling to one another as though the whole world had fallen apart. He saw how much they loved their daughter. They had done everything they knew to do. And in spite of it all, she had died. And Jesus acted with power. The Bible says He took the child by the hand and He said to her, "Talitha cumi," which is translated, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." I want you to be sure and notice that when Jesus spoke, He didn't address the parents and He didn't address the disciples. He didn't address anybody except one person, that little girl lying on a bed. He spoke directly to that child. Because with Jesus, the closer He gets to your need, the more personal it becomes. And in that moment, His whole attention was upon one little girl. And here's the amazing thing. Jesus speaks. He says, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And the response was instantaneous. Immediately, the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age. Immediately, she arose. When they entered the room, nobody knew what Jesus was going to be able to do. After all, everybody is helpless in the presence of death. All of us have had those situations where we stand and realize somebody we love has gone beyond our power to do anything for them. And once death has claimed someone, nobody can bring them back again. Nobody except Jesus. He spoke directly to her, and she rose up and walked. And the Bible says they were overcome with great amazement. Now, I think if there's anywhere in the Bible where there's an understatement, there's where it is. And they were overcome with great amazement. A minute ago, there was no hope. A minute ago, there was only despair. A moment ago, nobody could change anything. And then Jesus brought her back to them. He delivered a girl from the power of death. And here's the amazing thing. And He did it with a word. "Little girl, I say to you, arise. Arise." And the moment He said those words, she jumped to her feet. And she was restored. That's the most incredible thing about what Jesus did. Here's the thing we need to recognize. There was no struggle between Jesus and the grave. There was never a moment when He had to pry Jairus' daughter from the grip of death. He didn't have to work with all of His might to try to win the day. What does the Bible say? It says He said a word, "Arise." And when He did, all of the power of death was broken. All of the power of darkness was dispelled. There was nothing but life and light. And all He said was one word. Why do I want you to know? To know that? Because you need never doubt the power of Jesus to turn death into life. So many times you hear people talk about the power of Christ and the struggle with death, hell, and the grave. And it'll almost be portrayed as though there's this great struggle, this great cosmic struggle that's going on in the world. What's going to win? Light or darkness? What's going to win? Goodness or evil? What's going to win? Jesus or the devil? Who's going to win? What's going to win? The Bible says no contest. He speaks a word and it's done. And as we ask the question, who's going to help us in the midst of the crises of our lives, we need to recognize we need the one who speaks a word, and His word is sufficient. Never doubt His power. I was thinking about that reality when I was writing this message this past week. I was thinking about how over the past couple of months, a number of families in our fellowship have been touched by death. Some were members. Some were members' families. Some were members' friends. Some were men. Some were women. Some were older than others. Some passed quickly, some from lingering conditions. They were different in so many ways, but they were all believers. And because that is true, they had something in common. Death had no power. Death had no power over those who have gone away. It could not keep them in its grasp because they belong to the one who says to those who belong to him, arise. And with a word, life is restored. And death has to flee. When Jesus speaks, he gives us back our life, not this brief temporal life, but the eternal life that he has promised to everyone who trusts in his name. Every one of us in this room, every one of us in this room, unless the Lord returns, are going to follow that little girl. Every one of us are going to have that point where somebody's going to come to the people who love us and they're going to say, it's done. It's over. They're gone. I don't know when that time may come in your life. For some, it will be at the end of a long, full time in which you have invested your life and you have watched generations grow up behind you and you've had an opportunity to influence them for Christ for many years. For some, it's going to come in the middle of life, just when things seem to be going well and all of a sudden something's going to happen and you'll be gone. You may be young. And you think the whole world is in front of you. And then your life is taken away. And it's over. All of us are going to face that day. Which is why it is so important for all of us to know. And because my whole faith is in Jesus, I will hear the word. Arise. I will be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Arise. No wonder the Bible declares with power that Jesus has overcome death. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, hell, where is your victory? Here's the rest of the story. No matter what happens in your life, Christ is strong. Whatever crisis you may face in your life, Christ is strong. No matter what tragedy you may endure, Christ is strong. No matter what struggles you may undertake, Christ is strong. And when your time comes to leave this world and enter eternity, Christ is strong. Jesus is always and forever sufficient. Let me tell you why I think Mark included this story in the scripture. Because the rest of the story goes just like this. He comes, he cares, he speaks, he delivers. That's the story of what Christ can do in your life. He comes, he cares, he speaks, he delivers. So what do I have to do? What do I have to do to know that when my time comes, I'm prepared? What do I have to do when I face crisis to know God's going to be sufficient? What do I have to do to know that I can face anything because my faith is in Jesus? Jesus gave a word to Jairus, and it's a word for you. This is what he said. Do not be afraid. Only believe. So here's my question. Do you? Do you believe? Can you take him at his word? Do you believe that when he speaks to you, he says, arise? He says that when you're a lost soul and you need to be saved and you think, I need a relationship with Jesus, and he just speaks to you. And you're forever transformed. You know, the great thing about becoming a Christian is it's not the end of a long process after you've learned a lot of stuff and done a lot of things and earned a lot of good. All you got to do is say, I trust you. Come into my heart. Save me, forgive me, transform me, and you're saved. And as a believer, as we face the things that come our way, we never have to wonder, is he going to be there for me? He is. Trust him. And when the day comes that you move from this world and into eternity, what do you have to do? Don't be afraid. Only believe. Maybe today is the day when you need to believe in Jesus, not as a truth, but as your Savior. Maybe today, as we stand and share our invitation hymn in a moment, you're feeling the Lord dealing with you in your life, and you're recognizing, this is my day to be saved, and I'm going to be here at the front. Dr. Hutchins is going to be here. We would love to lead you to a saving relationship with Christ. Or maybe God's calling you to be part of this fellowship, or maybe there's something else God's doing in your life. And it may be this morning that as you're struggling with things in your own life, crises that nobody else knows about, you just need in these moments to have that private encounter with him where he can do what only he can do. Is there a decision you need to make? If there is, as we stand, as we sing, you come. Let's stand together.